We're here at the Northcote in Clapham Junction, and I am Dr. Lauren Mickus, and I'm with Dr. Aileen Cage, and we're talking about a paper that she just published in Research in Autism Spectrum Disorders, and the paper is called I Am Who I Am, Reputation Concerns in Adolescents on the Autism Spectrum. So thank you so much, Aileen, for joining
me. That's okay.
Congratulations on your paper.
Thank you.
I'd like to toast to
cheers.
It.
Oh, yeah, cheers.
All right. So I'm basically just going to ask you what you did. I really enjoyed reading the paper. I don't do a lot of qualitative stuff at all.
So this is me neither.
Oh, really? It was a really fascinating read, so I'd like to hear a lot more about it. And I guess I'll just start with the question, what was your research question?
When we think about adolescents in typical children, so those people who don't have autism, it seems that adolescence is a time where people are really concerned about their reputation. They're really concerned about what other people think about them. You know, you want to be cool, you want to fit in with other people. And so this time seems to be really interesting. But what happens if you've got neurodevelopmental disorder like autism, which affects your social communication and social interaction? How does that impact on your ability to manage your reputation?
I think in the earlier days of people with autism, you wouldn't think that they would be concerned with social interactions because they seem more preoccupied with inanimate objects than people interactions.
Yeah.
So, but that seems to have changed after reading your introduction to the paper.
Yes, so we find lots of research shows that autistic individuals want to have friends. There's this desire to have friends, but the problem is how do they make friends? And so your reputation comes into this because you need to have a good reputation to keep friends, to maintain friendships. It helps if you maintain a good reputation.
So you did predict that they would want to maintain a good reputation despite being on the autism spectrum.
Yeah, because of these, what it looks like, evidence towards desire for friendship. And also past research has looked at self-promotion in autism and found that autistic kids can self-promote. They can sell themselves.
Right. How did you go about answering the questions?
We use qualitative methods.
I'm sorry, what are those?
These are methods which involve things like interviews. It involves what we call semi-structured interviews. So talking to our participants about their experiences, their social experiences, their friendships.
So these were the things that you asked them?
Yes.
Social experiences, asked
friendships.
About friends.
We also asked about this idea of being cool.
Ah.
Because
what is the answer?
Well, the thing is, with typical adolescents, those who don't have autism, there seems to be this concern for being cool. But
I still have that concern.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm failing.
No, you're not.
Oh,
but yeah, everyone has a different conception of cool. And it's hard to work out what is cool. So imagine if you've got this social difficulty, then you've got this extra problem of working out these unwritten social rules, which can change. So one week it could be cool to like Justin Bieber, the next week it's not cool. How do you keep up with that?
Oh, it's impossible. So how many participants did you have? It was a small sample, right?
Yes. Well, with qualitative research...
Oh, no, I'm not doing
because
it.
Because it's so in-depth, it's okay to have a small sample. So we had 12 autistic adolescents, but we also had 5 school support staff who worked with young people. We got a range of experiences and reports and tried to like put those views together.
So you asked them all these questions about friendship and what it means to be cool.
Yeah.
And I just want to break in and say that in this paper they have a table of some of the responses that the adolescents gave. And my favorite was they asked them, I'm taking up too much.
No, so it's okay.
Can I just say, this is my favorite. So they asked the adolescents to evaluate themselves. And then they asked, reflect on how others would evaluate you. And this is my favorite. So one person said, I'm slick, very nice, quick, fiery, and loyal. And so that's what he thinks of himself, and then what he thinks that others would say is that, people describe me as nice, but sometimes I can be a little bit of a jerk-off. And I really just wanted to say that because I think it's the first time I've ever seen jerk-off in a paper, and probably the only time I'll ever be able to say it in terms of academia.
But that's what's really interesting, the fact that he said how he viewed himself, but then he's aware that other people could maybe see him as a bit arrogant.
Right.
That's really interesting, because your normal conception of autistic individuals as being, you know, they don't care what other people think. Well, this young person is saying, like, yeah, actually, people think I'm arrogant.
So this means that there is some sort of theory of mind?
Yes.
Am I jumping ahead?
Old theory of mind hypothesis.
But before we get into that, what you found was really interesting. So do you want to talk about that?
Yes. Well, what we did find, as I kind of hinted, is there are, at least in this group of individuals, evidence for concerns for reputation. They could talk about times where they'd done things to change their behavior to impress people. One of my favorite quotes was about someone who said he had deliberately looked up different computer games to go and tell his friends about because they were all really into computer games. And he went and did some of his own research to go and show off. And that is classic reputation management, you know. So we find that when we asked them about this idea of being cool, what we found was that lots of them said that they didn't want to be cool. They weren't interested in being cool. And when we looked a bit deeper into that, the reasons that they didn't want to be cool was because what they really wanted was to be accepted for being who they are, for being different. And so what it seemed to be was a kind of conflict between, yes, they want to fit in, they want to have friends, but they want to be accepted for being different. So it's really challenging for them.
So do you think what they have to navigate is more complex than, I mean, I guess, seems like an obvious question.
Yeah. As well, what came out of what the support staff at the school were saying, they talked about how these young people, they're still teenagers. You still have the fact that, you know, you've got exams to do, you've got to cope with social pressure and things like that. You're still a teenager, but then you do have this added pressure of being on the autism spectrum and really struggling to work out these weird social things.
Yeah. Can you describe briefly what theory of mind? I know it's a huge...
Yeah.
There's a huge literature on it.
So, theory of mind can be thought of the ability to think about others' thoughts. And the hypothesis with regards to autism is that autistic individuals don't have this ability to think about other people's thoughts.
No.
Well, research has kind of these days shown that what might be the problem is this automatic ability to just quickly work out what someone is thinking. Because autistic people, it seems that many of them can work out. It's more of an effortful process. They have to work out, what could this person be thinking?
But they get it right.
They can get it right.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, it's hard because it's, you know, the black box of the mind. Like, you can never really tell what someone's thinking.
Yeah.
What I believe is that it's not totally impossible for autistic people to think about others' minds. They just do it in a different way, find it harder. It relies a lot on verbal ability, so their ability to use language and that kind of thing.
So we've underestimated them, maybe, in terms of understanding others' theories of mind. Is that the right way to phrase it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
maybe
I think
so.
Okay.
Thank you. That's very generous.
Let's go with that.
So what are your next steps? Are you following up with this research?
In a way. So actually what I was really interested in from this paper was the kind of things around autism acceptance. The fact that these young people, they wanted this autism acceptance. Well, in terms of being accepted for being different. But we need to know more about this autism acceptance. How do we actually go about achieving that? And what I'm also interested in is kind of clinical outcomes in terms of autism acceptance. So if you feel accepted for being autistic, do you then experience less depression, less anxiety, because you're more, identity is more accepted by others? From what I can tell, we don't know the answer to that. And so alongside a couple of research assistants from Royal Holloway, who I'm working with, they're helping me develop a little survey for us to test this idea that autism acceptance and experiences of that could relate to things like depression and anxiety in adults with autism. And we also are doing another survey looking at attitudes in the general public towards autistic individuals.
Oh, that's really nice. So when are those going to be deployed?
To be confirmed.
Okay.
We're working on it.
Stay tuned.
In the summer, for sure.
Oh, yeah,
very no definite
good.
Date.
There's one thing that you remind me of when you're saying autistic adults, and that when I went through and took my abnormal psychology class way back, I was taught not to say that phrase, autistic adult. So I was taught you should say an individual with autism. Mm-hmm. So, but that's changed. Is that true?
Yes. Interesting research recently has come through by old colleagues of mine at the Center for Research in Autism and Education. So Lorcan Kenny et al. Found that in a huge survey of autistic people, teachers, parents, practitioners, they found that actually many people did say that when you asked them, how do you want to be referred to, lots of autistic adults said, autistic adult.
They
really? They were, that's what they want. Because for them, autism is part of who they are.
Right.
Other people disagree with this.
Yeah.
And there was, interestingly, a difference between practitioners, clinicians, doctors, people like that.
Yeah.
They tend to say person with autism.
Yeah, not to label
but
them.
Yeah.
But we should listen to them.
Exactly.
They want to be
saying.
I myself want to be called cool person.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. But it's like saying, I would say I'm a woman, I'm not a person with femaleness. Like, it's part of who I am.
Right. So I love that. That's a great point.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being interviewed by me.
That's
it's
all right.
Really, really interesting stuff. And congratulations on the paper, which I should say that you also published with a couple other people, and I didn't say that early on. It's really rude. So.
Not rude.
She wanted to say yours.
Yes, so this was also with my PhD supervisors, Jeff Bird and Liz Pelicano.
Excellent. Thanks again.
Thanks.